So notice something in both of our scripture readings for today. When confronted with the glory and the holiness of God or Jesus, both Isaiah and Peter became acutely aware of their own sinfulness, their own imperfections. Isaiah says, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." When Peter realizes who Jesus is, he says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." When we catch even a glimpse of the true nature of God, we feel deeply humbled. We are aware of how very, very different God is from ourselves. We become aware of how far short we fall of that divine perfection. This is a human response. It's a normal response. It's a completely appropriate response. And I would say that it is a necessary response if we are going to answer the call to serve. It is necessary to remain humble if we are going to do God's work. It is necessary to keep before our mind's eyes our own shortcomings and inadequacies so that we can minimize their effect as we do the work that God calls us to do. It is necessary that we constantly surrender our egos to God to ensure that we are doing God's work and not our own. Like Isaiah and Peter, we need to be acutely aware of our own sinfulness, but not let that stop us from answering the call. If God calls, God will work through us. I would like to tell you about a friend of mine, a man that I went to seminary with. One summer, we were both working as student chaplains in hospitals. I was at Children's Hospital at Stanford, and he was in New Mexico. It was a life-changing experience for him. Something in him recognized that he was home. Hospital chaplaincy was the work that he was meant to do. He wrote me a letter that summer talking about his experiences and his perception, and it was a profound letter. He had such an understanding about what the patients were going through as they confronted their diseases and their treatments. And I read his letter to my supervisor, a woman that I respected highly. And she said, "That is a man who is called to hospital chaplaincy." Well, 6 years later, I was privileged to be at his ecclesiastical council when we approved him for ordination into the ministry. I would like to read you a section of his ordination paper. In it, he talks about how he empties himself of his own personality to make room for the Spirit of God to work through him. He writes, "I feel this emptying every time I cross the street to enter a hospital as a chaplain, almost every time I enter a room. In the moment that I know I really have nothing, an involuntary deep breath fills me with the anticipation of authority from the mystery. I have so many character defects. I have obviously not been aware of what is essential in my life. I still overextend my attention in too many activities. I am somewhat ADHD myself, so that I easily forget a lot. Objects, dates, names, everything. I need to pay less attention to thoughts and more attention to feelings. I could go on, but it doesn't matter. I am called, and I will serve with my skills and with my defects. Funny how certain chaplains always seem to be the one who happened to be around when the code was called in the cardiac unit, when a multifamily accident hits the ER, when the family has left the ICU, and late at night, the patient struggles to face the truth. I am one of those chaplains. I am called, and I say, "Here I am, Lord. Use me." I can vouch for his character defects. I knew him in seminary, and he had a lot of them. But it doesn't matter. God did not call him because he was perfect. God called him because God could use him to help other people. In fact, I would say many of what he would call his defects are in fact blessings in the work that he does as a chaplain. He actually is ADHD, has attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. But do you know what chaplains in hospitals do? They walk into one room after another to talk to people and give them spiritual support. Without even seeing him, I know exactly how this goes for him. He walks into a room, there's a new person in front of him, and he can be 100% present with this person, completely interested in everything he can learn about that person and be right with them, give them all the support in the world. And then when he walks out of the room into the next room, he forgets about that first person and he's 100% present with that new person in front of him. And you know what? Chaplains have to be able to do that. Because if they carry everyone's burden all day long, all week long, they would burn out within a week. They have to be able to let go, be completely present to the next person. He's able to do that beautifully. So is that a defect? His attention, quote, quote, deficit? Is that a defect or is it a blessing? I think it's a blessing. I also think that a lot of people that are ADHD are also a little bit adrenaline junkies sometimes because the adrenaline triggers the chemicals in their brain to help them focus and they can hyper-focus. Well, where is the adrenaline always pumping? In the emergency room. So yes, it does not surprise me one bit that the Spirit would arrange for him to be the chaplain on call when there's a major emergency. Of course. Because I know he can walk into that emergency room and be there 100% and offer all the support and help possible. I know God works with him and through him and through those quote unquote, defects that aren't really defects. I want to share with you the story of another friend of mine, a woman that I know who was sitting in church one day and she literally heard a voice that said, "I want you to become a minister." And she said, "Go away, I'm trying to worship." But the voice came again. And then it came another time. And so she finally said, okay. And she began the education and training for the ministry. And one of her friends asked her, How can God call someone into the ministry whose favorite word is a swear word? God did not call her because she was perfect, and obviously God did not care about the fact that she cusses sometimes. God's call is unpredictable and unmerited, just like Jesus' call to the fishermen. There was no reason to believe that James or Peter or John were any more holy than anybody else. Peter describes himself as a sinful man, and yet Jesus called him. When we read the Gospels, the Gospel accounts tell us that they made plenty of mistakes trying to follow Jesus and to do his work. They denied him and deserted him when he was arrested and forced to stand trial, and yet God worked through them to build the church. God's call is unpredictable and unmerited. Why God calls certain people to do certain things is a divine mystery. Why God calls each of us to serve in certain ways, it's a mystery. We don't know why. But what we do know beyond a doubt is that God works through us, imperfect though we are. God does not ask us to be perfect. God simply asks us to be willing to try. God asks us to open our hearts and say, "Yes, Lord, I will offer myself in your service." And then we just need to trust. We need to let go of trying to control the results and instead allow God to work through us. And the amazing thing is that God will work through us if we will allow it. I would like to share with you a quote from a book entitled The Orchards of Perseverance, and it's about a community of Trappist monks here in California. The abbot writes, "Each of my brothers relates his growing awareness of how in his personal life, regardless of how dark, fragile and human it may be, he has come to see his life as the life of God. The message in their respective visions of God is not that God is to be sought outside of the self. Rather, they have come to experience that just as the soul is the life of the body, so God is the life of the soul." That is what it means to be a true disciple. Each and every day, turning our lives over to God, offering our hearts, our souls, our bodies to God, and then turning our attention to the task at hand, trusting that God will work through us. Even if the results are not what we expect, even if we meet with resistance and challenge, even if we make mistakes, even if our shortcomings and imperfections get in the way, trust that God can and does work through us for the good. If we are truly following a call, God will find a way to use even our shortcomings to fulfill the divine purpose. It is our task to say yes, and then to offer all that we are to God. And God will do the rest. Amen. God calls each of us in a different way. Sometimes the call comes in a very dramatic event, or even a voice like my friend heard, but other times it comes quietly through an intuition, an insight, a dream, an image, or a deep sense of just knowing what it is that we are to do. Let us open our hearts and minds to God in silence and listen for that whispered word. Let us be in silence.